So this past Wednesday was All Saints Day, and then Thursday was All Souls Day. And I think we all understand basically the concept of All Saints Day, which when we commemorate all those great people and all those great saints through the ages who helped form Christianity and how and what we have today. And this can be rather awe-inspiring when you consider that we are linked with these saints as part of the entire communion of saints. But what about All Souls Day? How is that different for us? I'd never really thought about it before. And so I went to Wikipedia, you know, the knowledge of all things. And it says, Anglicans view All Souls Day as a time to remember those who have died. Well, I've got a few of those. Or officially as the commemoration of all faithful departed, and that we have extended All Saints Day into 2 days of remembrances. So what do these 2 days mean for us? In Friday Journal, Ernie quoted Hebrews, which says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And like Ernie, I love that term. So these past few days, I've been thinking about my cloud of witnesses, my family and friends who have gone to the other side, or as a friend of mine says, they've gone over the rainbow. And I'm starting to like that term more and more. I miss these people who are my cloud of witnesses. They were and are important to me. My parents and sister, childhood friends, college roommates, and this past year, a cousin and an aunt. They were all ages, and they were all dear to me. And they helped form me. I'm here at this very place because of them, and because of how God placed them in my life. My parents taught us to be honest, accepting, caring, to laugh, and to be hardworking people. One set of grandparents were immigrants, and they taught us to accept all people, no exceptions. On the other hand, my other set of grandparents were one or more generations removed from their immigrant roots, and they taught us to be wary of anyone who was different from us in any way. Quite a contrasting lesson. And then a childhood friend led me to Jesus, and my college roommate was my godparent and my sponsor when I was baptized and confirmed. They all left their mark, and so there's nothing that I do which doesn't have some string attached to one of the many people who have been in my life. I invoke their names and memories all the time. In particular, I invoke my mom's name when I'm cooking because I'm not very good at it. And then I think of my dad when I'm repairing something in the house. I miss them, but my ties to their memories make me smile inside. I thank God for my cloud of witnesses. Think of all the strings that we all have with each of our clouds of witnesses. If there were physical strings, we'd never get anywhere. We'd be stuck here. It's an endless web. So I wonder, who have you been thinking of these past few week, these past few days? Whose name do you invoke when you're cooking or driving or repairing something or when you come to church? Were you a cradle Christian or a latecomer like me? Who taught you about God and Jesus, and what did they teach you about them? Did these people teach you about your cloud of witnesses and that we are tied to these people in the resurrection? God loves us so much that even in death, we aren't totally alone. We are all part of the communion of saints. We are all part of the cloud of witnesses. It's out of God's love for us that we are called to love the world. We are called to be a beatitude life of love for all of God's creations, people, and earth. We are called to live out the kingdom of God here on earth so that the beatitude life becomes the norm, and so that the world, which is outside those doors where I keep pointing you guys will know God and God's love. Spreading God's love out in the world includes spreading God's love within each of us and with our family and friends. And so this leads me to my little awkward segue into today's forum after church. Advanced directives for healthcare. Love them. One way of expressing God's love is to let our family and friends know how we wish to be cared for when we become ill. We know that at some point, we will all join the great cloud of witnesses because no one gets out of here alive. So how do we want to cross over that rainbow into God's kingdom? We have life and death, but in today's world of scientific advances and technology, death isn't as necessarily clear-cut as it was years ago. There are so many ways in which we may become sick and unable to communicate for ourselves. And have you thought about how you wish to be taken care of and treated in the medical world if you weren't able to speak up for yourself? Have you had that conversation with your family and friends so that they know your thoughts? Have you loved them enough to have that conversation? And have you loved yourself enough to have that conversation? And vice versa, have they loved you enough to share with you their preferences? So I'm going to share a couple of true stories from a book I read about the need for advanced directives. I'll be reading these stories in the first person of the author, who was a hospital and hospice chaplain. So I quote, "I ask you to imagine yourself in these situations. John was 55 years old. He'd been diagnosed with lung cancer 18 months before his current admission to the hospital. He had been in the hospital several times previously, but this was the most difficult hospitalization because his disease had progressed. His chances of leaving the hospital were very slight, and shortly after his admission, John lapsed into a coma. To keep him breathing, it was necessary to intubate him, so the machine was breathing for him. John's wife and family were approached by the doctor and asked whether John had expressed his wishes concerning life support and whether he had a healthcare agent, and Tom's wife said they never discussed it. They didn't want to upset the children, and she was concerned about upsetting John. She did not know what his wishes were, but she knew in her heart that he would not want to be kept alive by machines. And then what John's wife knew in her heart, though, was not enough. By law, the doctors had no choice, and so John was kept on a respirator. John's wife asked to speak with me. She said that she did not understand why he was put on the respirator. Why couldn't they just let him go in peace? She was very upset, as were her children. And she talked about how much John had loved life and loved God and worked his whole life to serve God and others. John died several days later after developing complications. And while he was not in pain, which I think is what most of us would hope for, his life was prolonged by machines because he did not appoint someone to be his healthcare agent. And then there was Harriet, an 85-year-old woman who had been relatively healthy for most of her life. She suffered a stroke that left her physically immobilized, but her mind was intact. She told her grandson that she was ready and wanted to die. Her grandson was beside himself because she had raised him from childhood. He didn't know what to do. Despite his grandmother being competent, he was not really sure that she totally understood her request to be allowed to die. And then Harriet remembered that she had completed a healthcare proxy form, which was obtained from her home. Her proxy form very clearly stated her wishes, Her grandson was greatly relieved when he realized that she was healthy, when she had stated that she did not want extraordinary measures taken if she had no reasonable expectation for recovery. The proxy form assured him that she understood what she was asking for. So she went into the hospital's hospice program and was allowed to die with dignity and in comfort and in peace. And her family was able to concentrate on Harriet until her final days. And unfortunately, most families that this chaplain deals with are in situations like John. And she wished they were more like Harriet's. I'll go back to first person. I have shared these stories with you not to scare you, but to ask that you look within and consider what your wishes would be if something were to happen to you. What if you could not make your own decisions? What if someone else was making the decisions about your health care? Who would you entrust to be your agent and make these decisions for you? And what decisions would you want your healthcare agent to make? Imagine if you had not discussed your desires, and imagine if your loved ones were trying to figure out what it was you wanted. Instead of making the most of whatever time you have left, as was the case in Harriet's family, your loved ones will be trying to figure out what you would have wanted. And then they have to try to convince the hospital that these were your wishes. That's time wasted with you. Lastly, your surviving loved ones would then wonder if they had made the right decision. Did they make the decision you would have made? And is that what you want to happen? End quote. So I welcome you to join me after the service today to take a step in sharing God's love with yourself and with your family and friends, and as you give them the gift of advanced directive. And then whenever the time comes to be when any of us enter the cloud of witnesses, it will be more on our terms and then instead of someone else's. Amen.